Come on, tell Jesus you love him. Good to see you. All right. Hey, let's stand to our feet one more time. I know you just sat down, but let's stand up one more time as we pray. And I just want to know, come on, how many of you are excited to be in church today and you love Jesus? Let's go. It's good to see you. I love it. You know, if you're new here, we just came out of a small room at the other end of the building. Long story short, it's great being here today, watching both services start to grow again. Amazing. Last week, if you were here last week, when you go to heaven, you get an extra warm house in heaven because you made it here last week. So thank you for being here. For those of you who were able to come in and the rest of you, we want you to always be safe. But it's a good season. It's a good season. I'm going to pray. We're going to ask God to bless the message. But what I'm asking God to do today is to bypass what I say and speak directly to your hearts. So in the book of Romans, chapters 8 and 9, there's a couple of verses that talk about how your spirit and God's spirit, the Greek word means that they mix, they commingle, they hang out together. And what I'm praying for is that while I'm speaking, that you're not just hearing me speak, but I'm praying that the Holy Spirit and your spirit have something together today where he speaks directly to you and it's not about me. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for all that you've done. And I pray, Lord, you'd bless this group of people. I thank you for the Pearl Church. I pray that you bless our house. This is Heart for the House season. And I pray, Lord, as we have a heart for this house, that you would do something very special. Lord, I pray that you would move in our hearts today. I pray that you would bypass the messenger and speak directly to the heart and spirit of every person in the room. I pray, Jesus, that you would bless every church in the Denver metro area. You bless every pastor, you bless every service and every song that is being sung. I pray, Lord, that it would be anointed and would touch the hearts of the people. We pray, Father, for Denver, that you would pour out your spirit on our city. We pray for revival. We pray for people to find Jesus. We pray, Lord, that your spirit would move through our city and bring peace to our city. We pray for the peace of Denver, Colorado. And we thank you, God, for all that you're doing. Lord, we love you today. We give you all the glory in the name of Jesus. Come on. And all of God's people shouted amen. One more time. Put your hands together. Okay. Give your neighbor a high five if you can reach them there. And you can be seated. Okay. Well, it is, it's good to be with you this morning. Donna and the team, Donna and half our staff is actually in Honduras. I'll give you a little report of what they're doing here at the end of the message. But God is good. Come on. God is good. I'm going to preach today. I'm not going to hold back. Is that okay? Can we have a conversation? I did a post this last week that had to do with finances, and I actually ended up having to delete a whole bunch of comments off the post. I actually have never had to do that before. You know what I mean? Like, I've never gotten in trouble on Instagram. I think this was my first time, but I don't think I should have gotten in trouble for it. But again, you know, I'm 55. I just want to love Jesus, watch football, and eat sushi. Come on, somebody. Anybody in my club? Is anybody in my club? I didn't expect to be in trouble. So I actually had to go through and just delete a bunch of comments. And the funny part is, it was actually some of it was people that I know. And I touched on a subject. I talked about giving. I did some slides. They were pretty simple. One of them said things like, something like, giving is never a finance issue. It's always a heart issue. I truly believe that with everything in me. Everybody has something to give, to build something, to help people. We all do. It doesn't matter what the size of the gift is, but we all do. Somehow in there, I touched a nerve, and I didn't know that I was going to touch a nerve, but here's what I do know. I think it's because giving and generosity is one of those things that makes people really uncomfortable. But normally, or usually, I should say, it's the uncomfortable things in the kingdom that we really need to wrestle with. It's the uncomfortable stuff that God wants us to wrestle with. I think some of it's the Holy Spirit. I think generosity. I think that there are other things, some of the racial issues and racial reconciliation. The things that make us the most uncomfortable are probably the things that we need to walk into with faith and courage in the name of Jesus. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna double down on my post. I'm not changing it because I believe that generosity is one of the most transformational things in the kingdom of God. When God gave his son on the cross to die for our sins, he set the standard and the stage for generosity. He said, I'm gonna start this thing off. You get to go to heaven. I'm gonna give Jesus, right? And so generosity is transformational. So I'm gonna double down. You can look at my post. Don't be mean to me. I don't think there's anything in there controversial, but for some reason, some people didn't like it. And you know what? It's okay. It's okay. It's all right. But I also believe that we are in a season where we need to be thinking about the next generation. I don't know what it is or exactly how to say it, but I gave a stat, I think last week or the week before, but since 1950, Christians actually give per capita 50% less than they gave in 1950. So the tithing and the giving in the church is constantly going down, but yet people's demand on the church is going up. Right? And so there's something there that in the spirit that I can't unpack today, but I believe in generosity with all my heart. I'm gonna do a message today. The title's gonna put you off a little bit, but please don't get on Instagram. Be nice to me, I'm still recovering. Today's message is called The Giver's Hall of Fame. The Giver's Hall of Fame. Now, I don't want you to think by that there's a contest going on. Not that I wouldn't have one. I mean, if some of you wanna compete with how much you can give, I'll pray about it. I probably won't stop you. But The Giver's Hall of Fame is not about a number, but that's my message today. There are many different halls of fame in the world. We've had a couple of Hall of Fame football players in our services over the years, and wonderful men. They love Jesus. They don't live here anymore, but inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. Love those guys. But there are so many different halls of fame now, and there's also walks of fame, which are a little different, but still really important. Halls of fame proper, there are about 250 different halls of fame. Now, most of those, you and I don't know what they are. So for instance, in sports, there's literally a hall of fame for like every sport you could imagine. You know what I mean? And do you know, like, have you ever watched the Olympics and you have that conversation, the Olympics is coming on and something inside you just kind of snaps and you're like, that should not be an Olympic event. You know that feeling? And I won't name them, but like broom hockey or something. I'm like, that should not be an Olympic event. Well, take it one step further. There's probably a hall of fame for that. You know what I mean? So many halls of fame. Here are a few that maybe you haven't heard of. There's a model car hall of fame. There's a robot hall of fame. There's an AI joke in there somewhere. It's just not coming. Second service. There's an internet hall of fame, an astronaut hall of fame, a candy hall of fame. Let's go. I'm all about, I could go there. There's a cowboy hall of fame, a rodeo hall of fame. I have a friend of mine who's actually in the rodeo hall of fame. He was the first World Cup rodeo champion in 1962 or 1964. He's a wonderful guy from Oregon, a rancher. His name is Johnny Justison. How many of you know that sounds like a sheriff? You know what I mean? Just picture Johnny Justison, that's the guy. Riding rodeos. Business Hall of Fame, Media Hall of Fame. There's bull riding and roller derby. I don't even know what to say with roller. I wish I had a line for that. There's roller derby. There's disc golf Hall of Fame. Anybody here play frisbee golf? A few of you. Why is frisbee golf, why are there more and more frisbee golf like fields popping up all over Denver? Have you noticed those? They're like every time there's an empty green space of grass, there's a net there. There's the Toy Hall of Fame, the Kite Flying Hall of Fame, the Pinball Hall of Fame. Pinball, okay, so now I'm from the 80s, and so, like, I get it if you're from the 80s, but I don't know if there's ever gonna be anyone ever inducted into that ever again. You know what I mean? The Pinball Hall of Fame. And here's my favorite one, the Towing Hall of Fame for tow trucks. It's an Olympic event next year. No, it's a Hall of Fame for the tow truck drivers who have rescued the most people in snowstorms, which is kind of fun. But I like to talk about music because, you know, we're all musicians in my family, and there are 44 different music Hall of Fames. Basically, there's one for every genre, and then there's a few extras. And I thought I would mention this today just because I don't have an opportunity to, but one of our founding elders, who many of you know, his name is Howard Rajinsky. He's a family member. He's a beautiful man of God. We love him. Years and years ago, there was a company that was started in our worship office in Portland, and that company is called CCLI. CCLI was started in our church office, if you know that, Christian Copyright Licensing Incorporated. Howard was the worship pastor. There was a lawsuit going on because a secular company had taken a worship song from a church and they used it and didn't give that Christian songwriter any money or any credit for it, even though he wrote it. So that Christian songwriter decided to sue them, and that wasn't a great witness. So Howard jumped in. He's like, you shouldn't sue them, and you should be giving them money. And the song was, they will know we are Christians by our love, okay? That was the other problem with the song. So Howard jumps in the middle with a couple of guys at the church, and they started Christian copyright licensing. And now they copyright all the Christian music all over the world. All of the worship leaders, all the songs that you sang, no matter who wrote them, those people can write songs because of CCLI. Because now those songwriters can actually take time and get paid for some of that hard work that they do. But just recently, Howard, one of our elders, was inducted into the Gospel Music Hall of Fame for being a defender of worship. And this is him. And I think you should give him a round of applause today, just because if you know Howard, he's been here a lot. He's just a wonderful man of God. He would tell you that he was called to defend worship. Okay, so, but there's all these different halls of fame. But did you know that there's a Giving Hall of Fame? There's the Giving Hall of Fame. You probably didn't know that. Now I'm gonna try something today. If it works, you guys are gonna think I'm the best pastor ever. If it doesn't work, you still think I'm the best pastor ever, and you love me even on the days when I don't preach well. Come on, somebody. Somebody say, go for it, Pastor Doug. Okay. Okay, so, but there's a Giving Hall of Fame. I'm gonna read something to you basically, and so I don't want you to fall asleep on me here, but my whole rest of my sermon is I'm kind of reading something. But if you don't know who's in it or where it is or any of that, I'm gonna tell you today, okay? But if you would have been at this year's ceremony, this is what you would have experienced, okay? First of all, you wouldn't have known who was being inducted into the Hall of Fame until you got there, because the greatest givers in the room gave in secret. But if you're in the room, the secret's out. Also, in the first service, I was struggling with the word inducted and indicted. And so I want to say that out. I want to get that out so I can try to say the word right all the way through the message. So yeah, if you're in the room, then you know the secret's out. But here's the scene. As you're watching from the sidewalk, there's people everywhere shouting, screaming, clapping their hands. They're all crowded around the front door of the venue. This is incredible. What an event. This is amazing. Look who's here. It was a big party. And then all of a sudden, at a certain point, all of the former recipients who were inducted into the Giving Hall of Fame, they all started to arrive. And as they pulled up, they stepped onto one of the most beautiful, brilliant, scarlet red carpets that you have ever seen, that was donated by a former prostitute who's now a Hall of Famer herself. Her name is Rahab, who's watching from the sidewalk wearing a scarf of the same color. And as the start time approaches, you begin to head in, and the lights are on, and people are shouting, and the cheering, and the supporters, and the encouragers all around. It actually was staggering for you, and you entered through the massive gates into this auditorium, and the venue was so large that it took your breath away, and it was already packed out. And as your eyes surveyed the stands, you quickly realized something that stopped you in your tracks. The who's who of generosity was there. Every former Hall of Famer was in the room. You can see Timothy on the side sitting next to Titus. All the disciples were in the front row still having an argument. Some of you recognize Daniel, and Moses was there, big smile on his face, sitting next to his father-in-law, Jethro. Jacob, is that Jacob? Is that Tabitha? Look, there's Ruth. My gosh, that's Stephen. That's the first martyr in the Bible. He was just a deacon when he gave his life for the gospel. He gave his life. You're so taken back by this never-ending cloud of recipients that are there to witness the events that are about to happen. These people were kings and queens and fishermen and Pharisees and Romans and Greeks and Jews and Gentiles, teachers and tax collectors. It was so overwhelming that you began to wonder how you even got in the room. And you know these people. It's every person who ever finished their race and every person who ever fought their fight. So you start to space out a little bit. You start to think. You're like, wow, man, I thought to get into the Giving Hall of Fame meant that I had to give more than any other person in my race. But some of these people here didn't give a lot. And then you remember the statistics. You see, getting into the Giving Hall of Fame isn't about how much you have. It's not about how much you give. In fact, statistics show that the more money a Christian has, the less money a Christian gives. And so, if this award was given on the basis of percentages, the auditorium might be empty, you think to yourself. And then suddenly the usher comes by and he taps you on the shoulder and he says, come on, follow me. And so you turn and you begin to follow him. And you snap out of your daydreaming. He says, this way, this way. And as he walks, you realize that he's walking down the aisle towards the front and you get a little confused. You start to get nervous. And you're like, excuse me, sir, I think we're going the wrong way. I think we're making a mistake. And he just ignores you and he keeps walking. And he walks you all the way down to the front row where there are 7 empty seats. And they say, this year's recipients. So you panic. You don't know what to do. Because you're sure that it's a mistake. And so you try to get his attention. Sir, just a second, but it's too late. The lights go down and choir starts to sing, and after the choir sings, everybody is seated, and you just awkwardly and nervously sit there and not knowing what to do. And when you look up to the platform, out walks the MC. He needs no introduction. And he doesn't read categories and then give 4 nominees. There are no long pauses and funny jokes, and there's just him on the stage. But there are lights. And there's some really good music. And he says, tonight, there are 7 people that we're going to be inducting into the Givers Hall of Fame. And when he says it, the crowd erupts with applause and he can barely get the crowd under control. And then all of a sudden, there's a dramatic light change and a low symphonic musical drone. And he begins to read from the confidence monitor. Now, if you don't know what a confidence monitor is, the confidence monitor is my TV that's up here that tells me when I'm preaching too long, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, when it tells me that I've given the wrong time for an event, all my mistakes. And so I've learned to block that out. I don't even see it. So the MC sees the confidence monitor and he begins to read. The first category tonight is we're going to be inducting. There's a weird irony in this. We're going to be inducting this person into the Hall of Fame for the category of following instructions. And at first you're like, that's not very exciting. Tonight he says, I have a question. Have any of you ever gotten frustrated with the instructions? And so you just decided to do it your own way. And every man in the audience said, every time I go to IKEA, the first inductee tonight will be recognized for doing something amazing. He followed instructions. It just didn't sound that exciting to me at first. And then he continues, this person, he says, built a boat just because I asked him to. But not just any boat. It was a massive boat, and he had to fill it with all the animals on the earth, and he spent 371 days adrift, believing that I would rescue him. But that's not what he gets into the Hall of Fame for. And everybody was listening intently, and he said, what gets him into the Hall of Fame is this question. Who paid for the boat? No one ever asks who paid for the boat. Well, no one offered to help him pay for the boat. And so he and his family stepped up and they just did what needed to be done. It took them over 70 years to build this boat. But what they did is they showed a faith in God's word and they did the insane for the sake of God's people. And what really sealed the decision was that he followed the blueprints for the boat that I gave him. Then the MC looks out at the congregation and he says, because my provision will always match my blueprints. And what happens is that people wonder sometimes why it is that their finances are not in order or they're struggling with something, they can't get it right. It's because God honors the blueprint. He doesn't honor our wants, our emotions. He doesn't honor the things that we can't put together from scripture to help us with our finances. He tells us what debt is about and how to deal with debt. He tells us how to work hard. He tells us what work ethic should be. He talks about finances from beginning to end, but sometimes as a culture, we wanna work outside of the blueprint and then we wonder why our current generation is more in debt than any generation in history. It's because we're not following the blueprint, because his provision always matches the blueprint, even if it takes 70 years when you thought it was gonna take seven. And I'm not sure how many of you here today have ever started on something and you thought it was gonna be quick. You thought it was gonna be easy. And it ended up taking a long time, longer than you ever dreamed, but at the same time, it worked out. Why? Because you followed the blueprint. This person that we would like to give this award to tonight, who built a boat and followed the blueprints and paid for it himself, is Noah. Genesis chapter 6, verse 22 says that he did exactly what God commanded him to do. So Noah walks to the stage. He meets the MC and the MC says, well done. He was all the way down at the other end. He took his seat and then the lights changed and it all started again. And then the MC says, in the next category is the category of understanding sacrifice. Sacrifice. Tonight, in the category of understanding sacrifice, someone very special will be inducted. To most, she's an unlikely candidate, for sure. But to me, she exemplifies what giving is all about. She's from the harder streets of Jerusalem. She's from the lower side, not the upper side, if you know Jerusalem. I saw her one day at the temple. And after the richest people came and dropped off their offerings that meant nothing to them, well, they gave pocket change, she gave an offering out of transformational change. There obviously was something in her heart that had been transformed for her to do what she did. And she had no record, she has no money, she had no influence and no husband, and no one even knows her name. And fighting for generosity out of the red corner, the cardinal of giving, the general of generosity, and the last who became first tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please welcome this year's inductee into the Givers Hall of Fame in the category of understanding sacrifice, the elderly widow with two mites. With two mites. In today's economy, that's less than 1/3 of 1 cent. Luke chapter 21, as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting in their gifts into the treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. Truly I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others, and these people gave their gifts out of their wealth. But she, out of her poverty, and she put in all she had to live on. She was somebody who trusted God and loved God so much. She knew that God would provide. Her gift wasn't limited by her wants or even her needs, but by her faith. She reminds me of Mary Poppins. Do we have any Mary Poppins fans in the room? I'm not one. I just want to know if you're here. Any Mary Poppins fans? Come on, represent. Okay, there's two movies in my house that are required to watch if they show up on TV. And I'm not saying I like it. I'm just saying I'm trying to, you know, keep my marriage good. One is Mary Poppins and the other one is The Sound of Music, okay? Now, I would rather watch Mary Poppins because if we're watching The Sound of Music, my whole family feels compelled to sing through the whole thing. And they even know the motions. And I don't know. Pray for us. But Mary Poppins is cool because Donna and I, on one of our anniversaries, we got to go see the play. I was actually speaking in England. It was a long time. I was speaking in London. And Mary Poppins had just opened on the west side of London. It was like this dream trip. I think it was our 10-year anniversary, so 18 years ago. And so the church said, hey, we would love to bless you for your anniversary. Go see Mary Poppins. So we go in. But the play is different than the movie. And there's a scene where the woman is sitting there, you know, Feed the Birds. They remember that scene. She's on the stage and the kids come up and the kids want to buy some food to feed the bird, and they stop the kids from doing that. There's a line in the play that's not in the movie. When the kids are trying to pay for the food to feed the birds, the bird lady says to the kids, sixpence is what it's worth, but its value is in how it's spent. And there's something about, to be honest, about our generation today, I don't think we understand value. I think we've lost value. We value things. Well, I mean, I could be super spiritual about it. You guys, come on. We value things that have no kingdom significance at all. None. We live our lives in luxury, even if you're like, I don't have luxury. Well, I understand that. But if you are the poorest in America, you're still more wealthy than 80% of planet Earth. And, you know, my wife right now is with people who are trying to survive a flood. That's where she's at right now. Yesterday, they were trying to rent boats to go rescue children from flooded towns whose houses were filled with water. My point is that I think our generation needs to learn something about value. Like we spend our money on things that don't matter and don't last. At a certain point, maybe it's as age comes on you a little bit, but there's something about value. I want to do things that last. So here comes this lady. She gets out of her seat. She makes her way, this widow, up to the front. People are cheering and clapping. And the MC looks at her and says, well done. And then all of a sudden, there's a light change. And the music starts. And the MC says, and the next category is the category of multiplication. This next inductee is famous. He's young, and his story is being told far and wide, but mostly because people think he's funny because he made the disciples look really stupid. This is the category of multiplication. So the MC continues, one day while teaching thousands of people in a field, we ran out of food. And the only thing that we could find was this kid who had a lunchbox. So I walked up to the kid and I said, hey son, can I have your lunch to feed these 15,000 people? Because when you read the story says 5,000, but only the men are counted. And there were more women than men. And that doesn't include all the children, which is why he was there as well. So can I have your lunch so I can feed 15,000 people? The boy, his eyes lit up. He looks up at the MC and he's like so confused by the question. And he just smiles and he goes, sure. So they looked, he had 5 rolls and 2 small dried fish. You know the story. And while everyone else was watching with awe the miracle of this boy's food multiplying, the MC says, I was watching him. Because miracles happen all the time. But it's what happens in the heart that means so much to me. It was his smile. It was the boy's laughter. It was the look of unbelief on his face. It was priceless. And every time I refilled the basket, he would just fall on the ground and start laughing like most 10-year-olds and shout, do it again! Do it again! And so I did. And so the multiplication award today goes to the boy and his lunch. And so the boy stands up and starts walking to the stage. He's got another lunch with him just in case. And the MC just looks at him and says, well done. Well done. And you know the story in John chapter 6. So here's a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But how far will they go among so many? Jesus said. Have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in the place, so they all sat down. About 5,000 men were there. And Jesus took the loaves and he gave thanks, and he did the same with the fish. And you know the story. There's something about what happens in our hearts when we give. And you know, one of the saddest things for me as a pastor, as I go through decades now of ministry, is that I know that some people will never have the experience of watching what they give be multiplied. Some people will live their whole life and never have the joy that this kid had watching his lunch get multiplied. And I'm just the kind of person that when I walk into a room and I walk into a hallway and I see new concrete, I'm just like that kid. We didn't have the money for that a year ago, but I say, do it again, Lord, right? We hung up one door last week. We did a door this week. I say, next week, do it again, Lord, right? There's something about giving, and people have asked me, and I will tell them, for me, giving is an addiction. And I'm just gonna say, if you're gonna have any addiction, do that one. Giving's an addiction for me. Why? Because there's nothing like watching God take what you gave and multiply it and let it touch people's lives. There's nothing like it. Do it again. Every time that God does a miracle for us, I find myself laughing and excited and wanting to do it again. So the boy comes down, he sits down, and the light changes, and I'll go quickly here. But the next category, he says, is building God's house. This next inductee, well, he might surprise you, but he may be the most famous of everyone in the room, but I'm also really proud of him because he is my grandson 42 generations ago. So he is my grandson, 42 greats. Super proud of him in the category of building God's house. You see, this man was a high capacity business person. He accumulated great wealth through military conquest and trade. He was also a skilled musician and a creative, and therefore he was hard to pastor. But that's how we got the Psalms. Regardless, he faced a choice. His choice was, would he use all of his wealth to make his children even richer? Or would he donate the monies for his son to build the first permanent temple of God, which would be the church? So he chose to enter the Giver's Hall of Fame by donating massive wealth, which he predetermined would go to building the church of that day. And his son still ended up with great wealth, of which he also gave to the church in his generation. And so without further ado, this year's induction for the category of building God's house, my great, 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 42 times grandson, King David. King David, and I love this verse in 2 Samuel. Let me read it to you. He said, after the king was settled, this would be David, after the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord gave him rest from all his enemies around him. And I do have a prophetic sense for you today. When I read that in the first service, I felt the Lord speak to me, but I didn't want to say it then. It didn't feel right. But I do want to say, I believe the Lord is telling me today that some of you are about to have rest. I believe that the Lord, that there's some of you here today, you've been fighting and struggling and worrying and working. And I believe that the Lord is going to give you rest. Just like David, there was a moment where he took a breath and he rested. And then it goes on to say in verse 2, and he looked around and he said to Nathan the prophet, he said, Nathan, here I am living in a house of cedar while the ark of God remains in a tent. So he built the temple. And so King David walks to the stage and the MC says, well done, and everybody starts clapping, and it was a great time. There were still a couple of seats next to you though. But you're getting nervous because it started 7 seats away and now it's getting close. So you're starting to freak out a little bit because you don't even know why you're there. And then the MC says, the category that we're going to honor now is the category of radical giving. And the man that we're going to honor tonight, well, he did something. He saw a need and he filled it. There was a great need that the disciples had to build the kingdom at that time. And so He had some land that he had acquired, and he went and he sold all of his land and he gave all the money to the church. But what's funny is that most people don't remember him for that. As a matter of fact, most people would never remember him for that. It gets lost. He's best known for being an encourager. And his name is Barnabas. Barnabas was an encourager. Barnabas is the guy who walked with Paul. Barnabas is the guy when he got saved, when Paul got saved, the disciples were afraid of him and didn't want to deal with him because Paul was running around trying to kill Christians. And so Barnabas jumps in the middle and says, no, you need to trust me. He really is saved. Trust me. He was known for being a nice guy. He was known for being a servant. He was known for being a deacon. He was known for being somebody who you could rely on. But he's not known for selling his property and giving the money to the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 4, Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement, he sold a field that he owned and he brought the money and he laid it at the apostles' feet. And then it goes on to say that they built the kingdom of God with it. And people begin to cheer and Barnabas stands up. And man, Paul was like that crazy person at the Nuggets game. When he saw Barnabas, he ripped off his shirt and he had a picture of Barnabas painted on his chest. And he was like, Barnabas, you know? He was going crazy. They had to actually take him out of the... Barnabas goes to the stage and the MC says, well done. And then you have this one. And now you're getting nervous. You're getting nervous because this person's sitting right next to you and you actually don't know who she is. And that means you're next and you still don't know why you're there. And so the MC says, today I'm so excited about this category. This is the category of trusting God for provision. Has anybody here in the room ever had to trust God for provision? Come on. By the way, provision isn't always financial. Provision can be emotional. Provision can be a lot of different things. And if Jesus has ever shown up for you, can you please shout an amen for me today? Because so she was, there's this lady, I met her once, I watched her. She was just walking around gathering sticks one day and she was gonna bake a loaf of bread and give some to her son. They were starving and it would have been their last meal and she was about to die. And then this prophet named Elijah came by and said, hey, will you bake some bread for me? The audacity of this man. But because she had the gift of faith and hospitality and she loved people, she's never really said no to anybody who needed anything. She had nothing left except just this little bit of flour. So she did it. She baked him some bread and then a miracle took place. From that day forward, every time she went to the jar where the flour used to be, it was full. And she trusted God for supernatural provision, and he showed up. Every time that the jar was empty, the jar would refill with flour over and over again, and her son were able to live. And her name is not known, but we know where she's from. She's known in scripture. And the MC says, now I want you all to clap for her. So you're all gonna clap. She's called the widow of Zarephath. So you can all clap. You've never heard of her in your life. But she trusted God at the moment when she needed him the most. 1 Kings 17, as surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, sir. And I only have a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. And I'm gathering a few sticks so I can take them home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. And then he looked at her and he said, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Some of you live in fear. You know, fear is something that when it comes on you, it paralyzes you. Fear can paralyze your faith. It can paralyze your decision-making. It can paralyze your ability to relate to other people. It can paralyze your hope. Fear is something that all through the scripture, when people were in a hard place, you'll see it. Either the Lord, a disciple, or a character will say, don't have fear. Even when angels would appear to people in the scriptures and they would be overwhelmed, the angel would say, do not be afraid. Because fear can keep us from entering into what God has for us. I just want you to know that God wants to provide for you. This reminds me a little bit of my mom. Now, you guys know that my mom passed recently and Donna's mom passed recently. My mom, we grew up in Portland, Oregon, and we were poor, okay? I was poor. I was a poor Filipino kid. You know what that means? Here's what a poor Filipino kid is. It means if you're a poor Filipino kid, you have rice for breakfast and you call it rice cereal. You have rice for lunch with something on it, usually Spam in my house, because Spam is the only meat that will be in heaven. Spam, and then rice for dinner, baby. I would go to school and come home, there'd be no food in the fridge, but there would be a pan of rice that my mom cooked in the morning and left for me to eat when I came home. There's no getting around it, y'all. We were poor, we struggled, man. This is how it was. When she died suddenly just over a year ago, by any standard, if you knew her, or even some of the staff came to help me with her memorial service, by any standard, she was poor and I grew up poor. And it wasn't until we went home last year and we're looking over her finances after she passed away that we discovered something about my mom. She was like the widow of Zarephath. She didn't have a lot. I know how much she made. I know how much she got from Social Security. I grew up in a little 960 square foot home that was falling down around us. We had very little. But when I looked at my mom's finances, when I found her little black book, because she was in a generation that actually wrote things down. She used a pen. Some of you need pens. And I opened up the little thing and there it was. My mom, who had nothing, she gave in every heart for the house. She would watch us online and give in our services. She gave to Pearls of Hope, to our cancer bag. She gave in many of the church plants that we were planting. And I started to look through her little black book and part of me got a little frustrated with her because I'm like, Mom, how could you do this? And then I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. No, my mom believed that God would provide for her, which is why I'm here today. Because she had some faith that rose up inside her. She gave to everybody. She gave to kids in the neighborhood. She gave to homes of single moms. And I was looking through it. And even while I was there going through her finances were some envelopes that had money in it that she was still going to give away to people. My mom was the widow of Zarephath. And I pray that her spirit gets in all of us because we have to believe that God will provide for the need that we see. And it's always the need that's always in your home. Some people don't believe that God can provide for what is in your home. I believe that God will provide for you for what your need is in your home. And so she stands up. Man, nobody even knows who she is. And the crowd begins to shout and they begin to cheer. And she makes her way up to the front and he says, well done. And now you're freaking out. Because you're the next chair. And you still can't figure out even why you're in the room. And you realize something. You've got a little doctrine in you. You understand grace in Jesus. You know that all of us get into the Hall of Fame. And you know that we all get to be with Jesus. You're all gonna hear the words, well done. We understand that. There are, however, some choices that we have to make in life. And the MC says, and now somebody that none of you have ever met. And you are freaking out. And then all of a sudden, he says, the category today that I want to recognize is the category of vision. Why? Because people who are on earth, who have vision, can do great things for God. And a great thing isn't about the price tag that was on the thing. The great thing is that did you connect with God and know what the vision is? I wish I could throw the Pearl Church in the front row and say, man, I want you to know what the vision is. I want us to know that God loves us. See, here's how we live. This is how we live. We live thinking that everything that I do and all the money that I earn and the sustenance that I have is for me so that I can just make it to the end. The goal is to make it to the end. But if you're a Christian, there's no end. There's an auditorium. There's a cloud of witnesses. There are people who will be cheering and clapping for you because you finished your race, and you will hear the words, well done. But in Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says this, one of our favorite verses, if people can't see what God's doing, they stumble all over themselves. And too many people in this generation, when it comes to finances and money, they're stumbling all over themselves because they don't know the blueprint. They're ignoring the blueprint because they don't believe that God can provide, and they struggle with fear, and they've never seen multiplication, so they don't believe in multiplication. And so they're paralyzed into a place where they don't do anything, and they end up trying to do something and they fall. God doesn't want us to fall on our lack of faith. He wants us to rise in our faith for the kingdom economy to work for us. If people can't see what he's doing, vision, they're gonna stumble. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Let me put it like this. In the church, we use a lot of very Christianese words. Now, if you're new today or you're new to church, there's a lot of words that we use, especially in youth ministry. My daughter doesn't do this because we've talked about it. But how many of you have heard the word destiny like 40,000 times in church? Well, we have one. But the problem is that destiny, oh, you're right here. I was like, where is she? She's right behind me. The problem is that the word destiny is a little bit weird because, like, you know, I'm 55. I hope I figured it out by now. Like, if somebody comes up and goes, you have a destiny, I'd be like, whew, let's speed it up, you know? You know, I'm gonna be 65, retired. Like, I hope I can. It's not about that. Destiny is heaven. All of us have this cumulative destiny called heaven. Destiny is heaven. Our inheritance, then there's another word, you have an inheritance. Our inheritance is the people that we impact on earth for heaven. So our destiny is heaven, our inheritance is who we impact, but our legacy is what we leave behind for those who do the work after us. You see, we have this responsibility for us in this room right now, as we look, I want you to know the conversation that we have about money here is when we talk about what it, you'll never know what it took to put the hallways to get concrete in there, the amount of money that it took. But when we have that conversation, we don't go, man, I'm sure glad I love these floors. This is an honest conversation that we have. We're putting the floors in this building for the next generation so they don't have to do it. Every time we fix something, we're going, hey, we're doing this for the next generation so they don't have to do it. We're doing this so the next generation can just run and deal with people. We'll deal with this. We'll get it fixed. We're not gonna let the presence of God hang out in a tent that's falling down. We're gonna fix it for the next generation. That's legacy. So destiny is heaven. Inheritance is who we impact for heaven. But our legacy is who is coming after us. And so Jesus, obviously the MC is Jesus, and he stands up on the platform and all of you are in the front row, and he calls your name and he says, I wanna give the vision award to, now when I count to three, I want everybody to say your name, 1, 2, 3. And he says your name and the whole crowd begins to clap and cheer, and Jesus says, well done, well done. And I just thought today, I would end the service with something. So next week, we do this little, you saw it in the bumper, but we do this thing called our 5 giving lanes. Those 5 lanes are areas that we give to, and all of you will participate. But I wanted to show you something, because right now, while we're here, Heart for the House money is being used in another country so that the gospel can go into another nation. So what we're talking about right now, and you'll see more next week, the money that we raise is actually paving a legacy road so that we can continue, the next generation can do something phenomenal in Honduras. I want you to picture this, because this is what I'm talking about today. So through the divine whatever of God, God's so good. You know, he does things that still blow my mind. I don't know how he does it, but somehow, through Jordan and Carol and others, we have this open door in Honduras. So Honduras is the 15th most dangerous country in the world. It is the, per capita, there are more murders in Honduras than any country on earth. It's one of the poorest, roughest, worst countries in the world. And for some reason, the Lord has called us to go there with the gospel. Now, we started with a women's conference, this women's conference, because it was already something that we had together. Attend to what he reveals. The Lord said, you gotta do this in Honduras. We're like, okay. Well, some things about Honduras. Honduras, women are very oppressed in Honduras, even in the church. In the history of the nation, as far as we can tell, there has never been a women's conference or an event like this in the country's, in the nation's history. It's causing such a ruckus in the heavenlies with demonic forces that are trying to shut this thing down, that they even sent the enemy, I'm just trying to over-spiritualize for effect, but this massive flood comes yesterday and tries to shut the conference down, and so we start praying, and when we started praying, the rain stopped. At a point yesterday, so many people in the villages were being flooded that we were trying to figure out where's the money gonna come from so that we can get boats and rent boats and go out into the villages and boats and start rescuing people and their families and their children. And as we're doing this, in the middle of that, the rain stops. And there's never been a women's conference in the nation of Honduras. And I wanna just show you, because this is happening right now. Let me show you a couple of pictures. This is one of the villages that was flooded. This is some of our team. It's my wife in the middle. They're praying for people. Next slide. This is the room, this beautiful church that we rented there from some people. This is Ida in the middle in the green jacket. She's our speaker. You remember her from Mexico. Her daughter here in the front in the green pants. This is part of our team. Next slide. This is Carol. You see, women started coming from everywhere yesterday. And the flood just made them more determined to get into the presence of Jesus. Because this has never happened before. They're literally coming from everywhere. Women are getting saved, healed, delivered. Miracles are taking place, you guys. This is Carol. If you don't know Carol, she's our nation's pastor with Pastor Bob and her husband Jordan. She weighs 61 pounds. She's 5'4", like 44 pounds, but that woman is filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. If you know Carol, you need to say an amen. And she is praying and preaching and prophesying. And all I have is one little video today to show you. You'll see more next week. But this is Heart for the House. I want you to look at what happened. This is a move of God. In El Progreso, Honduras, women are coming from everywhere. And pastors are coming. Women, leading ladies from the churches who have never experienced, pastors are flowing in. More than 200 churches sent their pastor into this room. And the prayer and the prophecy and the miracles that are taking place, this is Hall of Fame stuff. Church, this is about vision. It's about vision. And so if you're a part of the church, I want you to be praying this year. Next week, we're gonna be very specific. And of course, look, if you're visiting today, but you've been around church, you get this. Churches do this once a year, probably. Every church does this once a year. So this is familiar language to you. But next week, we're gonna be very specific. And if this is your home, this is your house, we're gonna ask you to pray, start praying right now this week on what you can sow into the vision so that we can see that not only happen in Honduras, but we wanna see it right here in Denver, Colorado. We wanna see God do miracles here, but be praying. And next week, we're gonna give some reports and do some stuff. So God's good. Can I hear an amen? All right, come on. If you love Jesus, clap your hands and stand to your feet, okay? You know why? Because the confidence monitor is telling me to stop. That's why. I rebuke you. Can you just say the name of Jesus? Jesus? Say it again. Say Jesus. Jesus. Let's remember this is all about Jesus. Say his name. Jesus. Come on, say his name. Jesus. Say his name. Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for today. And I pray that you would bless every person in this room, bless this house. Thank you for all that you've done to get us to where we're at. We adore you and we worship you. And we love you. I pray, Lord, that you would open the hearts of the Pearl Church so that so that we can give above and beyond what we normally give, so that we can see above and beyond miracles this next year. I pray that you would accelerate and expedite the vision, because I think we see it. I think we see it, Lord, and we're not stumbling. We're running, but we're not stumbling. The Lord wants us to run, but not stumble, and the difference is sight. The Lord wants to give you a fresh vision. Some of you haven't seen the church. You haven't seen the local church. You haven't seen what God does in the house like David saw it. And Father, I thank you, Lord, right now in Jesus' name for the sight and for the vision. And I pray, Lord, that you bless this house. And I pray, Lord, that we would be great stewards, people of great faith, and that we would run. But before we end, heads bowed, eyes closed, everything I said today, all of this, it's all good, but here's something. Some of you here, your relationship with Jesus is not good. Man, you're struggling, you're trying, you're doing your best, but you keep failing in your relationship with Jesus. I just wanna pray for you today. There are some people here that have really struggled in your relationship with God, and I wanna pray for you today. And when I count to three, if that's you, because you know who you are, I want you to lift your hand and I want you to do it in faith. If you know that your relationship with Jesus is not where it should be, then lift your hand so I can see you, and I'm gonna close this service with a prayer. One, two, three. Come on, if that's you, thank you. Thank you for the hands all over the room. Father, today, we love you. I pray for these that lifted their hands and all of those in the first service as well, that you would truly draw near to them. That you would not just introduce yourself to them, but I pray that you would infuse them with faith and you would cover them with love. And I pray, Lord, that their relationship with you would come alive. I really do. I pray, God, you'd bless them. And whatever they're going through, whatever their struggles are, this family stands next to them. And we know, Jesus, that you're gonna walk with them through this. So pray this with me, church. Say, Jesus, I thank you so much for what you're doing. I pray, Lord, you'd forgive me of all my messes, all my mistakes, and all my sin. And today, I give my life to you in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, say his name, say his name. Come on, say his name, Jesus. God bless you. Let's sing a song.